looks like most of y'all survived that cold snap. Just to wake up to have damp, drizzly old rain. I told my dad yesterday, I called him, and I said, he said, boy, it sure was cold the last few days. I said, yeah, but it's warming up, going to rain. It's getting ready to rain, so that'll, you know, this Indiana weather, if you don't like the way it is right now, just wait a day or so. It'll change. It'll change. And it has, and it's going to change again. It's the way it works. But I'm so thankful for the seasons. I love the different seasons of our years and the seasons of our lives, too, you know. And I guess that's why we're in this series called Rooted, huh? We got different seasons in our lives, too. We've had seeds planted in us, and it's time to grow. But the thing, and that's what I'm going to be charged with speaking on today, is growth. And we're going to get talking to that. But before we start, let's pray. Can we do that? Heavenly Father, Lord, we come before you and we give you thanks today because, Lord, you are God and we are not. We can't do anything without you, Lord. Yeah, we can't even grow without you. So, Lord, I just pray that today each and every one of us would allow you to grow us, that your Holy Spirit would fall on each and every one of us as we hear your word, as we learn from it, Lord, that we might, in fact, grow into what you called us to be. And each and every one of us is not going to look the same because you called us to be something different. Not everybody looks the same in this life that we live in the faith. Each and every one of us have different purposes, and we're going to see in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 that even Paul and Apollos had different purposes. So, Lord, we're going to study your word, and Father, we just ask above all else that we keep our eye focused on what's important, and that is you, for you are worthy. So, Lord, we just thank you, and we ask, it, Father, that you would be glorified in us, to us, and through us today. And we all say, amen, amen. Well, this main chapter that we're going to be looking in is 1 Corinthians chapter 3. What little context is, Paul's letter to the Corinthians was a letter to a church that was really messed up. Can churches get messed up? They can't they? Because they allow distractions to come in and divisions, because that's what Satan likes to do. He likes, if he can't attack you from the outside, then he will attack you from within. And we've seen, you know, churches split because of divisions, and it's just terrible, and it's devastating to those folks. And the reason why a lot of that time that happens is because they've lost their focus. They've taken their eyes off of God and put it on mortal things. And this is what Paul's addressing here in 1 Corinthians. Just to give you a little context on it, if you look back, I think it's in, let's see, first chapter even. In verse 10, it says, I appeal to you, brothers, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree with one another so that there may be no divisions among you and that you might be perfectly united in mind and thought. Now, does that sound like an important thing that a church would have? That we would be unified in mind and thought? That we would have a single-minded purpose? That's what God wants from us. He tells us that we are to be unified in love, and that's the bond that holds us together. But it says in verse 11, my brothers, some of Chloe's household have informed me that there are quarrels among you. And what I mean is this, that one of you says that I follow Paul, another one, I follow Apollos, and another, I follow Cephas, and still another, I follow Christ. Then he asks this question, is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Were you baptized into the name of Paul? See where he's going? These are mere mortal men. They are just mere servants of God, and they all have different things that God and giftings that God's called them to be. And then we get into chapter 3 on 1 Corinthians, And he says this, "Brothers, I could not address you as spiritual, but as worldly, mere infants in Christ. I gave you milk, not solid food, for you were not ready for it yet. Indeed, you're still not ready. You're still worldly. For since there is jealousy and quarreling among you, are you not worldly?" What was going on was they didn't understand that these individuals that came to them to plant that church in Corinth, Paul was the one who went there on a missionary journey and planted and started that church. He laid the foundation, and his foundation was basic gospel, the basic gospel message. Then after Paul had left, Apollos had came to build on that that Paul had started, and factions became bringing divisions because some of them say, "Well, we follow Paul," and the other ones say, "Well, we follow Apollos." And they would begin to argue and bicker among themselves about it, and they were acting like babies. So he tells them, "You know, you're not ready for solid food. You're still babies because you're still worldly. You don't have your mind on what's important here." And so many times I've seen that, and even in my own life, I've had that creep up because I'm very evangelistic in nature. My gifting is to have people to come to know Jesus. I bring people in, and it's somebody else's job, like Apollos, to disciple and to mentor them. I'm not a very good mentor, but I can tell you all about Jesus. That's what I want to do, and I want you to know Jesus. But we want to bring others into the church and to walk beside these folks and to love on them, because without love, what are we? Not much at all. So this division was taking place in there, and he's calling them out on it. And he's saying, you can't grow as long as you allow these things to take place in your lives and in your heart. You remember last week when Nathaniel was preaching on planting, at the very end of his teaching, he referenced, I think it was Proverbs 4:23. It said, "Above all else, guard your hearts, for it is the wellspring of life." Guard your hearts. Does it sound like these Corinthians were guarding their hearts? It sounds like to me that they were taking their focus and mind off of what was important and being distracted and divided by the enemy. And it was a mess. They had a whole bunch of other things going on in the Corinthian church too, but he's addressing this division at the time. You know, and when we have division, it's kind of hard to focus and grow, is it? That's what he's talking about here. What happened? There it is. These Corinthian brothers were just fighting amongst themselves, and God wasn't being allowed to grow. It says here that the growth of a Christian is very complex, and it involves many change agents. God's word, our fellowship with other believers, personal prayer and worship are all very important, but they only set up to fertilize the soil in our Christian lives. Growth comes from God and his exclusive work in our lives, similar to the part a farmer plays in growing a crop. You know, a farmer, he tills the ground, he makes it fertile, and he plants the seed, and then he waters it. But God is the one who causes it to grow. When we do what we can to create the environment for growth, then God can really take root in our lives, can't he? But we have to make that soil fertile. You know, and these people were, their soil wasn't very fertile. They were letting seeds of division and thistles of argumentativeness come in and choke out the seed that God wanted to plant in them. I get ahead of myself. It says, "We, though many, form one body." We can't do it alone. We would like to think that it's all about us, but it's not, is it? We have to be unified. We have to work with one another to make this thing grow and the church be built up. He says, "I couldn't address you as spiritual but as worldly because you were infants in Christ. I gave you milk, not solid food, for you were not ready. Indeed, you're still not ready. You're still worldly. For since there is jealousy and quarreling among you, are you not worldly? Are you not acting like mere men? For when one says, I follow Paul, and another says, I follow Apollos, are you not mere men? I see that mere men, I think about Superman. He wasn't just a mere man. He wasn't a mortal man. He was Superman. Well, I don't know about that, but I got to thinking about that, and I thought, well, you know what? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So maybe I am just more than a mere man, but only because what God allows to happen in my life, right? God causes things to happen. Paul continues in his teaching here through 3:5 through 9. It says that Apollos watered it, but God made it grow. So neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything. But I love this little three-word phrase here. But only God. But only God who makes things grow. But only God. My life's in shambles and I can't do anything. But only God can fix it. I'm struggling in my life with addiction. And I can't do it on my own, but only God can fix it. No matter what's going on in your life, but only God. But only God. I love that. But only God. The man who plants and the man who waters have one purpose, and each will be rewarded for his own labor. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field. God's building. And we see God, or Paul, changing metaphors here, don't we? We go from God's field, God's soil, to God's building. But it all relates to the same thing. How many of you guys ever seen a farmer's field that only had one plant in it? Yeah, notwithstanding that meme you see around in the fall of the year, it's got one old corn stalk sticking up in the middle field, and they say it's a blonde girl's corn maze. Sorry, blonde girls. No. A farmer doesn't just go out and plant one plant in the field, does he? His field is planted with many plants, and they need each other to prosper and to grow and to be fruitful, don't they? And it's the same way with us. Trees need other trees in order to be pollinated, to bear fruit. Seeds have to have pollination in order to grow more seed into more crops, into more fruit, and over more vegetables. We, as fellow Christians, we need each other. We need each other to grow. And if God has called us to be the soil, then the fertilizer, according to the scriptures that I read, has to be love. Love. God's love for us, our love for him, motivates us to love others the way that he does. Throughout scriptures, we see that happening, right? First and second commandments, two greatest ones, right? What's it say? Love God with all your heart, your mind, and soul. Love your neighbors yourself. Jesus, before he left his disciples, says, a new command I give unto you. As I have loved you, so you must love one another, so that by this men may know that you truly are my disciples, if you love one another. I get a little emotional when I talk about this, but for the first 3 months that I came to know Jesus in the year 2000, many of you were there in the high school auditorium where we met as Harvest. But I went into that building and the Spirit came over me and all I could do was cry. Because for the first time in a long time, I allowed myself to be loved. And that love washed over me because of you guys, brought about growth in me. Had it not been for you pouring into me the seed that was planted in my heart that very first time that I went there. Nate Yoder was preaching, I'll never forget. Then that seed would have died. I could have left that place, and I could have kept on being what I was before I had that experience of Jesus in that day. But for God and for you and your love made a difference in my life. And I've told you this before, that I used to have a poster hanging in my room of a mercenary, a Rhodesian cell scout, and it came out of a Soldier of Fortune magazine. I was in Bible college, and I had this hanging up in my wall of my room. And it was calling for people to come and fight against the communist regimes and stuff in Africa at the time. And it said, be a man among men. Come and join our fight. And it had a Rhodesian cell scout there, and they were some of the most elite light infantry forces in the world at that time. They could throw on a ruck and grab an FNFAL, and they could hump for 60 miles without stopping and go fight. They were premier fighting men. And I wanted to be one of those guys. But the moment I walked into that auditorium and I felt the love that you guys showed me, the love of God in my life, and all that just washed away, and I didn't want to be a Rhodesian cell scout. I didn't want to be a warrior among men. I wanted to be a warrior for Christ. I wanted to be a man among men like you. And for 22 years, I've strived to be that now. But it was because of you and the love that you showed me and my family. And I thank God every single day for you guys. You made all the difference in the world. For 3 months, I couldn't do anything but cry because of the overwhelming love that flowed into me from you guys and from God. It was washing away everything that I believed about not being worthy, about not being loved, about not being accepted. And it replaced it with inclusiveness, acceptance and love. Forever grateful. I love you guys more than you'll ever know. You made a difference in me, and I hope that I can make a difference in you. Love is what drives us all. We all want love and accept it. And you know what? The people out there want it too. They need to know that we love them. God loves them. But if we don't tell them, how are they going to know? That's why God put that evangelistic root in me, is because I want people to know that God loves them even when they don't feel like they're worthy of love. We all need it. You know, and as I think back on that, you know, we get caught up, and I don't even watch the news anymore. I couldn't tell you what took place last week in Washington, D.C. or anything else, because I just turned it off a year ago last October, whenever God told me to, because it was a distraction to me. But I want to read something to you, and hopefully this will make sense, because God just started flooding me with a lot of different emotions. But when that change came on me, when that love permeated that hard shell that I had, Romans 12, 1 and 3 started to make sense to me again. And it says this, therefore I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, and then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. God grows us into that, but it has to start with making ourselves and our soil fertile and being willing to take that so we can grow and to know what His pleasing and good and perfect will is for our lives. We have to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. We don't think like the world thinks any longer. We're not conformed to that pattern because we're new creations in Christ. Amen? So we got to guard our hearts above all else. Amen? We can't allow that to come in. The Corinthians were still being conformed to the pattern of this world with jealousy and bitterness and arguing. They were like infants. And they were following mere men. They weren't following God. I follow Paul. I follow Apollos. I follow Cephas. You're supposed to be following God, because mere mortal men will let you down every time. They're fallen creatures just like every one of us, just like me. I hope nobody follows me. I just hope that I point you to Jesus and you follow Him. They weren't guarding their hearts, those Corinthians. And in light of that, their soil wasn't conducive for growth. And here's a little tidbit that came with our teaching today. It says, it's not our responsibility to grow ourselves. God does that. Our responsibility is to create fertile soil by the renewing of our minds, by loving and allowing ourselves to be loved by God and others. Then that starts taking place in our lives. You know, there was a study done a while back, and it had to do with little newborn infant babies in a hospital nursery. And they did this test. They took half of the babies, and they separated them. And in one half of the babies, they would just go in and do basic needs care for them. They would feed them, change their diaper, and do all this, but they didn't nurture them. They didn't coddle them. They didn't show them any kind of affection at all. And then the other group, they did what every loving mother, father, grandpa, grandma does. They coddled them, and they loved on them, and they talked to them, and ooh, and then the baby, ooh. Right? What they found was those who received affection and love developed at a greater pace than those that didn't. So what's that tell us about us? We need one another. We need to be accepted. We need that love, and we need to know that we are loved above all else. We need that affirmation, that love, and that acceptance. We want to grow. We need to show love. You know, when Nick died and God really got a hold of me, and I knew that the battle was to be won for those who were fighting addictions where they were. They wasn't going to be coming to church like this because, frankly, they were afraid of us as much as we were afraid of them. And I don't know, God called me to be a fisher of men. And, you know, if you're fishing of men, you're not going to catch very big ones in a mud puddle. You go where they're at, right, Shorty? And that's when God called me to go to the jail. Place I'd hoped I'd never have to step into again, because I promised the next time I'd step in that place I was going to kill somebody when I left as a law enforcement officer. But when I stepped into that place that first time, and one of the little girls came through that door, and she saw me, and she was Nick's date for the 8th grade dance. And she just broke down and started weeping and crying. Man, I did too. I lost it right then and there. Because at that moment, I didn't see a drug addict. I didn't see any thief or anything else the world might have called her for the things that she'd done. All I saw was a hurting little girl crying out to be loved. And that changed me forever. That gave me a heart for those who were struggling. Because to be honest with you, we're all in a bondage of addictions, one way or another. We're addicted to our own self-will. And I found something else out going into that place, that I never grew so much or learned so much as I did when I went in there and taught. It was like God just opened up a floodgate in me. And he did something in me that I never expected. That was probably where my biggest growth came from, when I finally learned to love unconditionally, no matter what they'd done, where they'd been. Then God, my soil was fertile enough that I could be grown. And in God's timing, 3 years after I started on that journey in that jail, I got ordained because I wanted to serve those brothers and sisters, because that's what they are. They came to know Jesus Christ in that jail, and they became my brothers. They became my sisters. In the world and the church outside, for a lot of them, they wouldn't allow them to be married in their buildings. They wouldn't allow them to be married by their pastors because they'd been divorced or they were living together. And that just didn't seem right to me, because these people had became new creations. Their past was supposed to have been gone, but we were still holding it against them. When they wanted to do the right thing, they knew after having received that relationship with God and wanting to do the right thing by their girlfriends, that the world wouldn't let them. So I got ordained, and I married a lot of them. And some of them are still going, a lot of them are still going strong today. I just saw a couple of young adults that are married and got children together, and I did their weddings. They have since come out of jail and prisons. They've gotten their college degree. One of them is a nurse now, and they've married their husbands who were in jail also for addictions. They've became free and clear. They're no longer subjects and slaves to drugs, and they've gotten on with their lives. And man, to see that, and I just thank you, Lord, for those overcomers. Amen. But it opened my eyes up, not to the fact that people are where they're at in this life, because we were all at a place when we first came to know Jesus where we were not where we needed to be. But we have to have God's eyes to see them, not as what they are now, but what they could be if they only had Jesus in their lives. And allow Jesus to do that pruning and planting and growing. Several of those men and their wives, they are now co-workers in Christ. They're ordained ministers, and they've got their own churches. God's doing a great work in them. But what if they came out of jails, they came out of prisons, they went into a church, and they said, "Oh, I remember you. You were that drug dealer that lived down the street." How long do you think it would be before they went to the people that accepted them and loved them? See, it's not just about our growth, is it? It's about us growing alongside somebody else. God will stretch us. You know, we've heard that before. You know, God takes us out of our comfort zones in order to grow us. Well, I think, like I said, we are the soil, and God makes us the seed in us plant that's been planted grow, but I think that fertilizes love. With that being said, I pray that you're here and you understand and know that we love you. Our mission statement says that we are to engulf the community with the love of Christ, to train and equip workers for the harvest. And if you're here today, look at me. I love you. We love you. God loves you more. More than you can even ask or imagine. And I'm going to close with a verse out of Ephesians chapter 3, verse 16. Paul wrote this prayer. And I love it. But sometimes I don't think we can fully grasp God's love for us in our own human form. So this is a prayer that Paul prayed to the Ephesians. And it says that I pray that out of his glorious riches that he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in what? Love. May have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you might be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we can ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. He prays that we might be able to grasp how much God loves us. God loves you. If you're here, I want you to understand God loves you. Love is that fertilizer that makes us all grow. And if you're here and you don't feel like you've been loved, then you've been lied to, because God loves you more than you can ask or imagine. We love you. You're safe here. You can ask me how I know. And if you're struggling today, we want you to know the fullness of God's love. We want to pray with you. We want to love on you. We're glad that you showed up here today. This is a good place to go. There's no safer place that I've ever been in this than in the arms and in the fellowship of fellow believers. That's what makes us grow in this faith. God loves you so much, and he didn't hold anything back. He gave his only son that you might have eternal life for whoever would believe. That's why we take these elements, so we remember God's great sacrifice and his love for us. So as we get ready to take communion today, I pray that you would remember how much God loves you, the price that he paid. But also remember where you were at when he found you and the love that he showed you. And then take that love and show it to somebody else. Amen. That we might be the light in this dark world. Because that's what these people, what we all need is love to make us grow. Amen. Heavenly Father, Lord, we come before you today. Humbled by this love that